This is the Daily Perspective Podcast for Thursday, the 18th day of February, 2021. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this daily dose of observation, insight, and absurdity, hoping that the last 24 hours has been good to you. And as I usually say, if not, let's take it out back and kick it. I hope you're doing well. Hope you and yours are all good. And today, we're going to spend some time talking about a legend. I don't see any way around that. I got to be honest with you, you're already familiar with the fact that Rush Limbaugh passed away yesterday. And it's no big surprise for me to talk about it today, since we've had 20 hours of a news cycle about it and commentary about it. And everyone who is anyone talking about it, and tributes being posted online, and it's all because the man, the myth, the legend, changed an industry. He was responsible, I would say almost single-handedly responsible, for saving the AM radio dial. And you may be thinking, well, who listens to AM anyway? Millions upon millions of people, thanks to Rush Limbaugh. And as a result, AM radio station owners across America breathed a huge sigh of relief because their listener numbers shot up, their commercial revenue shot up, their viability as a business was sustained, and they were able to keep feeding their families and paying their employees because of the work of the man whose name was on the show, Rush Limbaugh. And I, like many people, would spend my lunch break sitting in my car listening to Rush. I was doing an afternoon music show at the time when he first hit the national scene, and I would sit in my car each day before I went on the air and listen to Rush, and was impressed with what I heard every day. And I laughed at the comedy bits, and I was influenced, not because I thought differently than Rush, but because Rush expressed what I was thinking, what I had observed through my life experience, what I had seen in the real world, Rush Limbaugh spoke of every single day. And the things which made me angry, he ridiculed and made me laugh about. And that rang true with countless millions of people every day who tuned in to listen to a man with half his brain tied behind his back, just to be fair. It was fun. It was informative. It was encouraging. And it let a lot of people know, for all of those years, it let a lot of people know that they weren't in the minority, that they actually were the majority of Americans, and that most Americans thought like they did, and that most Americans saw the same things they did, and that most Americans were not happy with their government. And as a result, many Americans paid closer attention to what was going on in Washington, D.C. I've used the illustration in the past about, and I heard this from Glenn Beck years ago, that it was much like we had elected all of these people and trusted them to do the job that we elected them to do, and then bent over, bent our backs, and put our hand to the plow and got busy working in our own lives again, trusting these people to do what we had elected them and placed them in Washington, D.C. to do, and then later looked up and were shocked at what we saw, because they weren't there doing what we elected them to do. They were there playing political games and vying for power and control for their party, not for the people who sent them to Washington, D.C. And the reason we looked up passed away yesterday. Rush Limbaugh opened our eyes. He made many Americans aware that what they suspected was true wasn't just a suspicion. It was actually true. Things in D.C. were bad, and there had to be something done about it. And through his comedy bits and parody songs and his keen insight into the mindset of leftist liberals, he helped us understand what we were up against. And as a result, things began to change. And I think because of Limbaugh's attention to the state of our nation, America decided business as usual was not good enough for them. And so in 2016, they went to the polls and elected somebody from outside the swamp, Donald Trump. And we saw what happened as a result. And I think we can trace that back to the fact that Rush Limbaugh was on the air alerting people every day to what leftists were trying to do to this country we love so much. I listened to him from, I believe, the day he went national. And in recent years, I didn't listen to him as often just because of, you know, life. But when I could, I did. And yesterday was a sad day. A sad day for everyone. As Rush Limbaugh's show opened with the voice of another Limbaugh.
Hello, everyone. I know that I am most certainly not the Limbaugh that you tuned in to listen to today. I, like you, very much wish Rush was behind this golden microphone right now, welcoming you to another exceptional 3 hours of broadcasting. For over 32 years, Rush has cherished you, his loyal audience, and always look forward to every single show. It is with profound sadness I must share with you directly that our beloved Rush, my wonderful husband, passed away this morning due to complications from lung cancer. As so many of you know, losing a loved one is terribly difficult. Even more so when that loved one is larger than life. Rush will forever be the greatest of all time. Rush was an extraordinary man, a gentle giant, brilliant, quick-witted, genuinely kind, extremely generous, passionate, courageous, and the hardest working person I know. Despite being one of the most recognized, powerful people in the world, Rush never let the success change his core or beliefs. He was polite and respectful to everyone he met. Even most recently, when he was not feeling well in the hospital, he was so appreciative to every single doctor and nurse and custodian and first responder. He never wanted to put anyone out and always thanked them profusely for their help. From today on, there will be a tremendous void in our lives and, of course, on the radio. Rush loved our miraculous country beyond measure. An unwavering patriot. He loved our United States military, our flag, our Constitution, our founding fathers. He proudly fought and defended conservative values in a way that no one else can. Rush often stood up and took arrows on his own because he knew it was the right thing to do. Rush encouraged so many of us to think for ourselves, to learn, and to lead. He often said it did not matter where you started or what you look like. As Americans, we all have endless opportunities like nowhere else in the world. Rush gave us hope that through hard work and determination, we can overcome the obstacles in our lives and be our best. Many of you started small businesses or pursued personal dreams because Rush gave you the faith that you could. He made the most complex issues simple to understand, while making that level of genius look easy. It most certainly was anything but easy. Irreplaceable, remarkable talent. On behalf of the Limbaugh family, I would personally like to thank each and every one of you who prayed for Rush and inspired him to keep going. You rallied around Rush and lifted him up when he needed you the most. I am certain, without a shadow of a doubt, if he could be here today, he would be. He loved you, and he loved this radio program with every part of his being. Instead, we know our Rush is in heaven, encouraging us in the same way he always did on earth. Rush's love for our country and belief that our best days are ahead live on eternally. In Rush's honor, may we all continue Rush's mission in our individual lives and communities. I know all of you listening are terribly sad. We all are. I'm terribly sorry to have to deliver this news to you. God bless you, Rush, and God bless our country.
Catherine Limbaugh from yesterday morning. It was clear that she was prepared. She was reading the statement that she read. She had time to prepare. She knew what was coming. They both did. And because of this, she was ready. And I think everyone who followed Rush over the years was thankful that Catherine took to the golden EIB microphone to give us the news. It couldn't have come from a better source. So yesterday, we lost the great one. It was a sad day. But we will press forward. We will continue. Rush Limbaugh was the trailblazer. He went out and carved the path for those of us to follow. Even if you're not in radio, not in broadcast of any kind, not doing something like this, you still have a responsibility and work to do to follow in his footsteps, to defend the honor and the dignity of the conservative cause. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for a Thursday. It's the 18th day of February, 2021. Good to have you along today. Thanks for being there. It's interesting, is it not? I don't know if you've scanned social media, but if you have, you know what I'm talking about. That the people who spent 4 years whining, whinging, complaining about mean tweets sure have a lot of interesting thoughts on Rush Limbaugh's death. The people who demonized Donald Trump on social media for 4 years are spewing some of the most vicious, nasty, evil garbage I've ever seen. And it's very revealing. If you want to know where hate really rises from, hatred always, without exception, rises from the left. Oppression always, without exception, rises from the left. All the things the left points fingers of righteous, bony, righteous fingers of indignation at, all of these horrible things that they claim that they're going to cure, rise from the left. And so we're witnessing in the last 20 hours or so, we're witnessing these people spewing their true selves all over social media. It's horrible. It's just horrible. But people who are honest, people who have a moral compass, and we've discussed this at length before, you know that the people on the left have no moral compass. But people with a moral compass are saying nice things, and they should. Former Vice President Mike Pence recounted his early days in the radio business, saying that Rush Limbaugh was the guy who inspired him to be better and credited Rush with his inspiration for getting into politics. Pence said, "Many people don't know that I spent about a decade in talk radio. I was inspired to go into conservative talk radio in the 90s because of Rush Limbaugh. I scarcely believe I would have had the opportunity to serve the Congress, serve the people of Indiana as governor, or serve as your vice president without the life, the example, the encouragement, and ultimately the friendship of Rush Limbaugh." Sean Hannity had nothing but great things to say about Limbaugh and, like others, praised him as the radio legend that he truly was. He said, "There is no talk radio as we know it without Rush Limbaugh. I'd even make the argument there's no Fox News or these other opinionated networks." Newsmax also reported that former President George W. Bush had nothing but nice things to say about Limbaugh and revealed that he was a friend to him during his administration. President Bush said, "As he battled hearing loss and cancer late in life, he was sustained by the support of friends and family, his love of sports and rock and roll, and his belief in God and country. Rush Limbaugh was an indomitable spirit with a big heart, and he will be missed." Former White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany weighed in on Limbaugh's passing, saying that she was the definition of a Rush baby. She recounted her childhood, saying that her friends knew if they rode in my car, we'd be listening to Rush Limbaugh. "I'm the definition of a Rush baby. And it's not just me. There are tens of thousands of us all across the conservative movement." Kayleigh, I'd say it's probably more like millions. Dozens, if not hundreds, of conservatives and others in the business and in Republican politics all heaped praise on Limbaugh on Wednesday. And he deserves every single ounce of praise. There will literally be nobody who could ever come close to matching his imprint on America and the legacy he left. Limbaugh was a unique talent, and he used to joke about that talent being on loan from God. Or was it a joke? We need to remember that this guy, he was just a guy. He was a guy with an idea. He was convinced that he was right. He pushed forward. And he succeeded. Somebody recognized that spark, recognized the potential, and gave him a chance. And once he had that chance, he took it and he capitalized on it. And there are a lot of people who have, like I mentioned beforehand, who have been nasty about this man. They've called him names. They've accused him of things. But the people who actually knew him will tell you nothing they say about Limbaugh is true. Nothing. They even go so low as to ridicule him for his bout with addiction to painkillers, something that thousands of Americans have dealt with, something that many people, even right now as we speak, there are people who are trapped in this cycle of addiction to painkillers because it's the only thing that gives them relief, and eventually they become dependent, and eventually they have a serious problem. And Rush went through that himself, dealt with it, conquered it. And what you don't know, and most people don't know, is that because of his experience with that addiction to painkillers, he was compassionate towards others who were going through the same thing and did what he could to help. I think we'll find out in the coming days many, many things that Rush Limbaugh actually did that were not made public just because he did not want them to be made public. And that is the true character of a real conservative person. It's you and I who give to charity. It's you and I who actually get out and help people. It's you and I who fire up the chainsaws and the other equipment and toss them in the back of the truck and go help clear trees when storms pass through. It's you and I who give of our hard-earned money to help causes, to feed people who can't feed themselves, to clothe children, to pay for things, to help people pay their car payments and their mortgage payments and the like. It's you and I who do that. We're the majority of the charitable donors in this country. Because leftists don't believe in charity, they believe in government, and that it is the duty of government to care for those in need, which goes against the grain of everything you and I know is true, because we're honest. We're honest, and we've seen life, and we know how life works. I would bet that we're going to find out there was a lot going on that Limbaugh contributed to and helped with that he asked not to be made public. He was a very wealthy man, and he loved giving. And if you didn't listen to his program, you don't know that. But as an example, every time a new edition of the iPhone would come out, he would buy a lot of them and give them away. $1,000 telephones. He would give them away to callers. He'd have somebody on who was interesting. He'd tell them, that was great. I'd like to give you an iPhone. And he would ask them what carrier they used and what model they wanted. And he would make sure that they were sent a brand new latest edition of the iPhone. And that was just what he did on the air. Every year he did a telethon to benefit causes. Every year he helped who knows how many people just because he had the platform and he could do it. And I got to tell you, his impact has reached far and wide, and I think we're going to be impressed with what we learn now that he has passed away. I've got more audio I want to play for you. There's not time right now. I've just got a couple of minutes before the break. But coming up before we finish up, I want to play some audio about his beginnings, where he spoke to a group about his beginnings. I've also got some audio about where he spoke at a CPAC conference. And he defined what conservatism is all about and what conservatives are. And I think it's important for us to hear and remember. Because every day we are bombarded in the leftist press and on social media and everywhere we turn with misrepresentations of who and what we actually are. And Rush put that into words. And I want to play that for you coming up before we leave today. We've lost a great guy. But as I said before, he was the trailblazer. He opened the path. He made it easier for us to follow. There will be others who take up the mantle. But you and I still have work to do. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast for this Thursday. Slip sliding into the second half of today's podcast. On a personal note, kind of a busy day for yours truly today. I have a doctor's appointment. My wife, Jane, sweetest woman in the world, she's piggybacking on my doctor's appointment. Called him up the other day and said, hey, can I come with him? And because I got something I want you to look at. So I got to go pick her up. As soon as I get done with everything here at the studio this morning, I've got to bolt. But I'll get the podcast uploaded, and the fact that you're listening to it means I did. Okay, so, all right. I'm not doing the Facebook or Twitter or any kind of live feed today. Got to be honest with you, I've gotten to the point where I'm just disgusted by the whole process because the reach has been just messed with so much, and I have ideas, I have things I want to do with the video version of the podcast that goes beyond what I've been able to do before, and as soon as I'm able to do that, it involves getting a camera and some other things happening. Excuse me, I'm not big on that. I'm a radio guy. I don't want to have to be on camera. Let's put it that way. I'm not a big fan. And I engineer, produce another podcast, and the host of that podcast has got it going on YouTube. And he keeps saying, we need to put a camera in there with you at the control board. I want a camera on you because we open and close the program. We chat. But the YouTube version doesn't include the open and close. It's just the interview that the host does with his guest. It doesn't have us at the beginning and the end, and that's because there's no camera. And I haven't objected to that. I just, you know, I'd rather sit here and just yammer in front of a microphone than have to deal with a camera. But then with a camera, and I've got to have the right backdrop, and I got to, yeah, there's just a work that has to happen in the studio to make it a video friendly studio. But that's something that could happen in the future. Plus, I've alluded to this side project I've been working on for a while. It's not for a while. It's just for a little while. And that is, the side project is beginning to shape up into something that may take a lot of my time. And I don't have a problem with that at all. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. I think I'll still probably be doing this. I'll have to do it at a different time of the day instead of early in the morning like I do now. But because what I'm working on will end up being one of the first things I do every day. It'll take an hour or so of my day, and then I can move on to other things. But I really am getting excited about that little other project, and I'm hoping that I can share it with you in the very near future, because I think you may get excited about it too when you hear it, or hear about it, I should say. Okay. All right. I mentioned that I've got a couple of other pieces of audio from Rush Limbaugh, and I want to play them for you. First up, it's about 6 minutes long. It's from MRCTV, the Media Research Center. And Rush shares a story about why he first wanted to get into the talk radio business. And expresses how meaningful it is to him that his audience stuck with him for the whole time that they did. And if you haven't heard where his beginnings were, I think you'll find this very interesting. And it's good to hear his voice.
Let's set the stage. In 1988, in August, there was only CNN on cable. It was ABC, CBS, NBC, The New York Times, The Washington Post, The LA Times, USA Today was flittering around. There was nothing else. And I came along, and I must, folks, I have to be honest with you, I didn't intend to become identified as a conservative anything. I wanted to be big in radio. And back then, the biggest names in radio were on at night and overnight. Bruce Williams, Sally Jesse Raphael, who you'd never want to see without her makeup. I have. It's not pretty. And of course, Larry King. And they were considered the big stars, and they didn't do politics. King did with some of his guests, but nobody heard it. I mean, it's midnight to six, and when people are awake, are stoned, drunk, or passed out. So, it'd been tried in the daytime, but nobody...
Oh, that's interesting. Let's see here. Can I get my...
88 in August... There was,
let's go back. Let's see if we can find this.
That radio had to be local. The phone number. So it'd been tried in the daytime, but nobody in the daytime had ever succeeded because radio manager of the day thought that radio had to be local. The phone number you call had to be local. Issues had to be local. They didn't care about what was going on nationally. And I always said, does anybody care where Phil Donahue is? I mean, he's national. He's somewhere in Ohio. No, Cincinnati. Nobody cares. But radio is different. It's very provincial. And I decided to try it because nobody had succeeded at it. And if I didn't, I just would be in a long line of people that gave it a good try. And it'd probably help me get a better job somewhere down the road. All I wanted to do, I wanted to be the biggest, most successful guy on the radio. I didn't dream of being anything in the conservative movement or in politics. I hadn't trained in it. I grew up in a very political family. I was very educated and informed and cared about a lot of things, but I wanted to be on the radio since I was 8 years old. I hated school. It was prison. People on the radio sounded like they were having fun. That's what I wanted to do, but I really, that was my business. That was my level of expertise. That was my talent, so to speak. So that's what I wanted to do. So it's very important that when I started, there is nothing else except National Review. And the Media Research Center is just kicking up, analyzing the media. But in terms of national broadcast media, there wasn't anything. And folks, well, I'm sure if you've been around long, it took off like a rocket. We started with 56 stations with a combined audience of people in a phone booth. And inside of a year, we were up to 250 stations, and nobody said it could be done. And after the first year, I became the obligatory racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe because I'm conservative and the left didn't know how to deal with it and the media didn't know how to deal with it. And I'd never been called any of those things and nobody ever thought I was any of those things and nobody ever thought I ever hated anybody. But all of a sudden, that became who I was. I didn't know how to deal with it. I had no, and nobody I was working with had any experience at it. Nobody had been, that I worked with, had ever been under assault. And I didn't know who to call. But the reason that it worked is not because my audience was a bunch of mind-numb robots and I was a Pied Piper leading him around. It's exactly what Cal Thomas said. But they found a seat for him. He's been standing here the whole night. I thought the stage seemed empty. People were validated. They believed, but they never heard it reflected in the media. They were laughed at. They were mocked. Made fun of, the greatest president in their lifetimes, ditto, Ronald Reagan, laughed at, mocked, made fun of. But he rammed it down their throat, and he did it without talk radio, and he did it without the Media Research Center. He did it without any assistance in the media, which proved you could do it, which proved that you could go over the heads of the media if you had a way to reach them, to form a bond with them. And it is crucial. They have tried to destroy me, and I'm not saying this as a martyr, it's just what it is. They try to destroy and discredit all in the quote-unquote conservative movement who become a threat. They never take us on issues. The reason they haven't been able to is because they had nothing to do with creating this success. They didn't tell people I was this great hotshot that they had to listen to. I wasn't the beneficiary of a PR campaign and a bunch of buzz and everybody on TV talking about this hot new guy. That just happened. I benefited from the fact that I was the only one. The first one, really, in terms of national broadcast media properties. And they couldn't destroy it, and they repeatedly tried for 30 years. I've tried to destroy myself, and I haven't been able to. Well, I mean, I haven't tried to, but, you know, I've done some really stupid things, and the audience has stuck with me. I can't tell you how meaningful it is. It's what humbles me. I'm nothing without the audience. Investing the time and admitting it so that people will know, and patronizing the sponsors. Nothing without that. And they haven't been able to destroy it.
And that is, wow, that is Rush Limbaugh. 1951 to 2021, 70 years. And he spent 32 of those years every day, unless he was on vacation. 32 of those years. Opening the golden microphone and reassuring the American people that they weren't alone. The patriots weren't alone. One of the things that you would hear his callers say was dittos or mega dittos or something to the effect. And leftists, liberals would say, see, they're all mind-numbed robots. They all agree with him mindlessly. And that is not what the word dittos meant. And if you were a listener, you understood that. If you were a casual listener, you might have missed it. The ditto thing started years ago when someone called up and agreed. Instead of saying, I agree with everything that so-and-so said, they agreed with something a caller had said beforehand. I agree with that. And someone said, hey, dittos to what that lady said or what that guy said. And dittos stuck. People called up and would say, dittos, Rush. And to them it meant, I agree with you. I understand. Dittos. Not that they mindlessly thought or just accepted what he thought, but that they were thinking people and they reasoned through things. And because they were thinking, reasoning people, they agreed with what he had to say and what other callers who were before them had to say. But you and I will always be portrayed as mind-numbed robots whenever we say we agree with someone. And that is why it's so important for you to educate yourself, to understand what you believe, to know what you believe, and to know why you believe what you believe, instead of just mindlessly repeating what others have said. You see, that's what leftists do. They don't think things through or reason things out. They just follow. The Daily Perspective Podcast for Thursday. It's the 18th day of February. The year is 2021. Just in case you're Rip Van Winkle. Diving into the final segment for this Thursday. And I have about a 7.5 minute piece of audio I want to play for you. That is Rush Limbaugh at a CPAC conference describing what you and I are, what conservatives really are, because one of the things that we are told by the leftists is that we don't care, that we're greedy, that we're focused on money, that people don't mean anything to us, that we are the reason for everything that's wrong with our society. Now, nothing could be further from the truth. But you're not going to know that if you're just listening to what they feed you. And that explains why you see so much on social media that's negative. You see so much hate. You see much, so much misrepresentation of what you really believe. You look at descriptions, they say all those conservatives are, and then fill in the blank here, and you think to yourself, well, that's not me. Well, the truth is, that's not you. But they continue to say it is you because it's convenient to be able to label you in a simple way so that people will have an emotional, visceral reaction to what they think you believe. It's not true, but it is what they think you are and what you believe and what you stand for. And you've encountered this yourself, where you try to correct somebody and say, no, that's not what I believe. And they come back at you spewing hatred and ignoring everything you have to say. Well, given that, sometimes it's just tough to be a conservative. And the mainstream media is not doing us any favors because they don't want to. Because what you and I believe is the backbone, the foundation of a great nation. And they don't want that to be the foundation and backbone of a great nation. They want their their views, their leftism to be the foundation of the nation. Because they believe that people, generally speaking, are stupid and they need leaders. They need shepherds. Well, that is not what makes a nation great. And this nation has proved that for generations. And here, from a CPAC conference, the audio is a little strange here. I just want to give you a heads up on that. It's not great. It's a little distorted. But let's wade through it together. Here's Rush Limbaugh talking about conservatives and what they're all about.
Now, seriously, for those of you watching on C-SPAN as well and on Fox, I want to tell you who we all are in this room. I want to tell you who conservatives are. We conservatives have not done a good enough job of just laying out basically who we are because we make the mistake of assuming that people know. Well, what they know is largely incorrect based on the way we are portrayed in pop culture, in the drive-by media, by the Democrat Party. Let me tell you who we conservatives are. We love people. When we look out over the United States of America, when we are anywhere, when we see a group of people such as this or anywhere, we see Americans. We see human beings. We don't see groups. We don't see victims. We don't see people we want to exploit. What we see is potential. We do not look out across the country and see the average American, the person that makes this country work. We do not see that person with contempt. We don't think that person doesn't have what it takes. We believe that person can be the best he or she wants to be if certain things are just removed from their path, like onerous taxes, regulations, and too much government. Want every American to be the best he or she chooses to be. We recognize that we are all individuals. We love and revere our founding documents, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. We believe that the preamble of the Constitution contains an inarguable truth. That we are all endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life.
Yeah. Ah, that's weird. Hang on a second. Hold the phone. And I don't understand why it does this, but it does.
Now, those of you watching at home may wonder why this is being applauded. Endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life. Liberty, freedom. And the pursuit of happiness. Now, those of you watching at home may wonder why this is being applauded. We conservatives think all three are under assault. We don't want to tell anybody how to live. It's up to you. If you want to make the best of yourself, feel free. If you want to ruin your life, we'll try to stop and make it but it's a waste. We look over the country as it is today, we see so much waste, human potential that's been destroyed by 50 years of a welfare state, by a failed war on poverty that has destroyed. We love the people of this country, and we want this to be the greatest country it can be, but we do understand, as people created and endowed by our Creator, we're all individuals. We resist the effort to group us. We resist the effort to make us feel that we're all the same, that we're no different than anybody else. We're all different. There are no two things or people in this world who are created in a way that they end up with equal outcomes. That's up to them. They are created equal to give the chance. So, we don't hate anybody. We don't. I mean, the racism in this country, if you ask me, and I know many people in this audience, let me just deal with this head on. You know what the cliche is of a conservative: racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen of America, but if you were paying attention, I know you were, the racism in our culture was exclusively and fully on display in the Democrat primary last year. It was not us asking whether Barack Obama was authentic. What we were asking is he wrong? We concluded, yes. We still think so, but we didn't ask if he was authentically black. We didn't say, as some Southern Christian Leadership Conference leader said, Barack is not authentic, he's not got any slave blood. He's really not down for the struggle, but his wife does. So don't expect the race industry to go away. Southern Christian Leadership Conference, you may not even know this, it wasn't reported in the drive-by media. The racism, the sexism, the bigotry that we are all charged with. Just so you across the United States of America know, and you'll see demonstrated here as the afternoon goes on, doesn't exist on our side. We want everybody to succeed. You know why? We want the country to succeed, and for the country to succeed, its people, its individuals must succeed. Everyone among us must be pursuing his ambition or her desire, whatever, with excellence, trying to be the best they can be, not told, as they are told by the Democrat Party, you really can't do that. You don't have what it takes. Besides, people are willing to discriminate against you. You can't get anywhere. You need to depend on us. Well, take a look. Someone has to say this. I am thrilled for the opportunity to say it in my first national address to the nation. I'm going to touch on this in more detail in a moment, but this is just to get you thinking. Take a look at all of the constituency groups that for 50 years have been depending on the Democrat Party to improve their lives. And you tell me if you find any. There's still.
And that is Rush Limbaugh, in his own words, describing conservatism and the failure of leftism, liberalism. And that's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.